reading in two places in Jeremiah. We know that this morning we read passages in Jeremiah as well. We read this week, and I believe the Lord has to preach on it. This is a passage of Scripture that as a kid I can remember I was preached on by my grandfather many a time, and we read this week, and in light of what we read, we seem a little bit different. Not different than what it would have been preached, but just as to what was going on. It says in the 36th chapter of Jeremiah, we're going to break in on the second verse. We might as well read the first. It says, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, sent from God, what it was. And it says, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. And it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, and that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. The Lord sent the word to Jeremiah, and he was told to write a book. And the purpose of it was that it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I have purposed to do unto them, and that they may return every man from his evil way, and that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him on the roll of the book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people and the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. On their fasting day, the Bible says. And if you would want to, you can jump down to the ninth verse, and we're going to just read a phrase in there. In the middle of the verse it says, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people of Jerusalem. Then if you read in the tenth, you find that that's that was the scene that was set here, that there was a great fasting that took place in Jerusalem. And Baruch read this book, and we know that it brought fear to the hearts of some in 16th verse. And that came to pass when they had heard all the words, they were afraid. Both one and another, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king all these words. And then if you used to jump down once again to the 24th, it says, in the 24th chapter, speaking about the king and his men, yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. You know, if you read Jeremiah, you'll soon realize by the accounts of the first, just as we read that first chapter talking about the year, that the book of Jeremiah is not wrote every chapter consecutive, that there's some chapters, there's one in particular that is wrote, and when they compiled the book of Jeremiah, that they didn't put them in chronological order. But if you was to read all of the book of Jeremiah, you'd have to truly say that Jeremiah was not a weeping prophet because he had it given. But he was a prophet that had experienced great troubles. We know that he was in prison at this time because he prophesied that which was not popular to the people. We know that later on that he was in prison once the Chaldeans. There was those prophets that said the Chaldeans will not come They'll not come to seize the city. They'll not come to defeat it. We know that they did come. There Jeremiah was in prison. He wasn't accompanied by all the other false prophets that said they'd never come. We know that when the Chaldeans were left because the Egyptians come in their country and they fled, Jeremiah had an opportunity to get out and then go into Benjamin. And we find that that not only did the people, the leadership of Jerusalem hate Jeremiah, but there was a consensus within the country that there was a lot of people that didn't like him. They seen him out in the country and they said, well, there's Jeremiah. He's going to go and be a spy for the Chaldeans. And they went and they arrested him, and sure enough, he ended up right back in prison again. This wasn't a man that they said, oh, look, behold, the man of God. They said, look, he's a spy. He's a spy for our enemies. And we find that he told Zedekiah. We know that here, if you was to read all of this chapter, and I would encourage you to do that very thing, God gave him a commandment. He told him, Jeremiah, write in a book. He didn't say, write a new thing in a book. But what he said was, he said, write all that I've given you. We know that this book, that it stood the test of time, and we read from it today. We know that it made its way all the way into Babylon. We know that David, after reading the book of Jeremiah, that he began to see a vision. Why? Because it was a book of the Lord. Because Jeremiah was faithful. God preserved his word. But we find him that the king, when he heard him, let us think for a little bit. Let us try to go back in time, if you would. That there was many a prophet. That it wasn't so much. That Jeremiah was a prophet of God. And that there was all these other false prophets. But there was many prophets. We know that the people, that they looked at one, they were the same as the other. But we know, now let's think about it. Jeremiah was told, can you imagine now? Sometimes I wonder why these things God would have them do. But you know why? So people could get a better understanding. To see everyone knew what a yoke was for. But we find that Jeremiah had one. He made one and he sent it. He sent it off as well. But do you remember the old false prophet? Prophesying. Saying the things that Jeremiah said, thus saith the word of the Lord, that they'll come to pass, that the old king, or that the old prophets rather, they come, and he prophesied. He remembers his name, don't matter. I'll never see him again. Don't matter what his name is. But he took that old yoke, and he broke it. And Jeremiah said, you might break this yoke. God's going to give you a yoke of iron. And it come to pass. But this was a man that come to tell the truth of God. And they locked him up in prison. And then there was a fast. A fast, the Bible said, for all Jerusalem. I don't know what they's fasting for. But I imagine, because of the foreign invaders in the land, fasting to find out what thus saith the word of the Lord as they gathered all around. This is a message today on the provision of God. Now think about it, church. Look, the devil and all his children think they had him locked up. Have you ever met anybody when they hear the word of the Lord preach? They want to shut the preacher up. They want to keep him quiet. They'll not invite him back. They'll turn their back on him when they see him in town. I imagine that was the way it was with Jeremiah. And they heard the message. They thought, oh no. We are the nation of Israel. We are God's people. He'll not destroy us with foreign invaders. All that Jeremiah ever says is negativity. Do you hear him? He's saying that a heathen nation is going to defeat
the nation of God, of the nation where God has set up His name, of Jerubbaal. He walks around with a yoke upon him. Look at his clothes. But for all I see, he spent more years in prison than he ever was a free man. And he's a man of God. But yet, look at all. But let the prophets say, down around the temple, they're saying, God's going to deliver us again. We need not to worry. But thank God. We'll take those old kings and lead them out and drive them away.
Oh, that feels good to my soul. Because when I heard the message old Jeremiah said, I got a little worried. I was scared. Boy, I'm glad. I'm glad he ain't nothing but a crazy man. Boy, I'm glad that old prophet put him in the place when he broke that yoke and told him that all these things weren't going to be. Boy, I'm glad I don't have to hear him no more. I'm glad the king locked him up in the prison. Let us know what the word of the Lord says. Let us pour our hearts out to God so that we might hear from Him and not hear from Jeremiah. But listen, if you read the book of Jeremiah, we know that Jeremiah weren't the only one that was prophesying the truth. There was another. And when he prophesied, he fled. And he went, and the king got him, and brought him back, and slayed him there in Jerusalem. And I don't know, and God didn't tell him to run to Egypt, or he done it on his own. But he too spoke the same message that Jeremiah did, and he perished. Jeremiah stayed in Jerusalem, and he kept his life. But even he too tried to go to Benjamin, tried to leave, and they arrested him as a spy. One man had prophesied to his own heart because he loved Jerusalem and he loved Judah so much. He wanted to tell them the truth, how it must have hurt him to be called a spy. Traitor. Oh, and he was the only patriot that there was there. So men, young and old, all of Israel, all want to know. They got together and they were going to have a fast and they were pouring out their hearts. Some no doubt in a half-hearted way. Some no doubt doing it because it had only been proclaimed. Doing it amongst worshiping all their idols. They yet still knew it. And then there was those, I'm sure in all sincerity, or maybe there were those that said, Lord, might you tell the people down there in the temple of your ways. I know your prophet Jeremiah is locked up. When he was a free man, might you send another prophet more than this? God, will Jeremiah there in the temple? He said, Jeremiah, I've got a job for you. My people have prayed the best. I want you to write down all the words I gave you. You are my prophet. You are my child. And I'm going to give you the words. So Jeremiah went and told, I guess you'd say, his companion, his fellow, a conspirator, as some would say, because he too was accused. Was it not? If you read Jeremiah, of being a spy, of being one of the Babylonian sympathizers, and old Baruch come, and Jeremiah
I can see now. Jeremiah preached all those messages all over again. As the Holy Spirit got a hold of Andrew's hand and probably made him quicken. I don't know. Maybe he said, slow down, Jeremiah. I want to get it all down. But he wrote it down. So then, as the nation of Israel, as those in Jerusalem had a fast, wondering, seeking, wanting to know the will of the Lord, might I be so bold to say, wanting to know something new, a new message, something to lift them up. Here come old Pharaoh with the word of God in his hand. As they had their hearts open to the things of God, he began to read there. I've seen hearts and I've seen faces close. No, I don't want to hear that. No, no. We are God's people. That old Babylonian king ain't got no parts being here. Didn't want to accept and realize that a judgment was coming. And he read it. There was those that were angry. And there was those that it brought fear to. And maybe those that had not heard the messages before. And they went. I find it interesting if you read the chapter. Oh, the king and all of his princes weren't there at the temple, were they? They were elsewhere. The scribes of the king weren't at the temple. Ain't that interesting? Proclaim a fast, but yet they were fasting elsewhere. They weren't to be numbered among the so-called of God. But yet we know that they had gathered together, so many of them, out of obligation and duty. They had gathered together, after all, because we're Jews. There's a lot of people, I heard one say, a feller I work with, he said, my great-grandfather was such and such, which was a denomination. He said, that's what I am. He looked at him as somehow betraying his ancestors if he's not a Lutheran. But listen, the man, what they offer there apparently ain't much, because he don't go to church much. But yet he counts himself as a Lutheran. Why? Because his grandfather was one of the founders of the First Lutheran Church in White Creek County. So then he feel that he was betraying the family if he was anything else. But if he could see that there's something more than being a Lutheran, that one could argue that he ain't even a good Lutheran today. But that one we need to be is not even good church attenders. But what we need to be is born again believers. And if we are, we'll find ourselves gathered around the temple asking God to give us what we need. And you know why people don't come to church as often as they should? Is it not because they don't see it as for what it is? If they see it as their source of strength and their weakness, they would run to the house of God. But it's nothing more than an obligation, and obligations are left undone when we become weak. Are they not? I've obligated myself to do some certain things. Anybody that's ever bought something on credit, I've bought me a piece of ground, and I've obligated myself to pay so much a month until that land's paid off. An obligation. Because I value my name, and because I said I would, I've not, as of yet, made a late payment. But you know what? If it come down to it, if we had a collapse in the economy,
if I become so disabled that I couldn't work, I'd have to sell that piece of property. If it was an economic collapse, as we've seen in the past, as it were in the 20s, there was people that had possessions that they could not sell because there was no buyers. If they did sell it, it was pennies on a dollar. And you know what? If it come down to it, I'd probably put food on my table, see that my children provide for before I pay that piece of property. Why? Because it's an obligation, but it's not a necessity to life. But I'm thankful that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness do so because it's a necessity to be without the cool water of Christ Jesus is to die first without having the food that can be enjoyed is to hunger and become as a skeleton. So then, I'm glad that God's people still gather at the temple and lift up their hearts and their minds to the Lord. And He still sends a message, whether they like it or not. It says, there was some, I don't know, there was one, if you read this chapter, he's going to go tell the king. And we later find out that he thought this was something that needed to be read to him. Thought it was something, no doubt, that should be put on a shelf somewhere to see that if it all come to pass. Something that had brought the fear to his friends, to his associates, to his comrades, as it were. And he took it to the king. I don't know, the Bible don't really say what his particular opinion was of it all. But we know that when the king seen it, he was in his winter house, and there was a fire. And he read it, and he took a knife to it, and he cut the leaves from it, and he threw it in the fire. And I guess it made such a nice pop in the crack that he threw it all in there. Why was the king so angry? Well, if you looked over in the 22nd chapter of Jeremiah, you might find out. It says in the 17th verse, Jeremiah proclaimed who this king was. I'm pretty much telling him that he's seen through all that he was, and that judgment was coming. It says, but thine eyes, you can read the whole 22nd chapter if you would, but we're going to just read a few verses. And it says in the 17th verse, but thine eyes and thy heart are not but for thy covetousness, and for to shed innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Now listen, it says, they shall not lament for him, saying, oh my brother, oh sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, oh Lord, all his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, and drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Go up to Lebanon and cry, and lift up thy voice in Bashan, and cry for the passages for all, and cry from the passages for all thy lovers are destroyed. I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou sayest, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. A king, that it, if you would, if you're ready, you read all the 22nd, a king, that enclosed him high in himself. The Bible said, in a house
a cedar. What was that? Marie Antoinette, the queen of France, when she was told that the people of France was starving, there was what everybody heard, let them eat cake. A woman that was totally detached, a woman in her arrogance, Sam, well, if they're starving, let them eat cake. Like a man that is poor and starving has access to cake, when he don't have the very bare necessities or the essentials to eat. But she herself had enclosed herself and her royalty within the walls of fine jewels. As this king here had enclosed himself in a house of cedar. And inside himself from the sorrows and the sufferings of those out in the street. And he thought that he could just close off the world, that everything would be alright. I guess he become a kind of like that emperor with no clothes. I wonder how many people told him and come before the king and told him how bad it was. She had a habit of killing those people that told him things he didn't like. And if he didn't kill them, he threw them in prison. And so can you imagine how he got so angry as he read those words that we just read to you? A king, no doubt, maybe even had already had his tombstone carved or his tomb decorated or whatever. And Jeremiah said, well, you ain't going to have a burial of an ass. I don't know how they got rid of their dead animals out over yonder. Me and Daddy, when we have an animal that dies on the place, we've got a particular spot in the woods fenced off that the livestock can't get to. And we drag it out there. And the coyotes and the possums and the armadillos, anything else that eats anything rotten, the birds of the air, they come and they eat the flesh of that. And they disperse it all over the countryside. Not a very nice ceremony. He knew as a human being. And I don't know if they buried asses over yonder like we bury cattle here. We don't bury them at all. Be a pretty big, deep hole to dig in this rocky ground. And that angered him. But yet God tried to speak to him in his prosperity. Have you seen those that God has tried to speak to in their prosperity when they could make some choices in life that would be a whole lot easier to make now than when they didn't have two pennies to rub together, laying in the street destitute? Isn't it wonderful, the love of God? That the devil felt that he had the messenger of the Lord locked behind prison doors, and yet the message still got out. Was it received? Now, that's what it was sent for. That was the intentions of God. But we find here that it obviously was not received. For had it been received, then they would have repented and God would have spared them. But we know that judgment came. At one point Jeremiah said, where are the prophets that said, well, the Chaldeans will never come out here? If you remember, they come and they besieged the city. And they besieged it up to the point that the Egyptians, they hard Egyptians, I imagine, had to come up there, and the Chaldeans just heard of it, and they left. And they thought, well, see, Jeremiah's prophecy, how they didn't come to pass. Look, they didn't invade Jerusalem. And they soon forgot that the very false prophets, not of Baal, but the false prophets of God, that claimed his name
and His anointing, it said that they would never come at all. But they deemed them to be true prophets because they did come, but they did not conquer. Well, Jeremiah said that they would, and in time they did. Let's get some songs to sing. It's such a blessing to know that as these people proclaimed a fast and opened up their hearts, that God was able. Not only was He able, but that He sent the message. But it's also somewhat frightening, is it not, to think about a people being so blinded that they would even bring upon themselves physical discomfort to seek the will of the Lord, and when it comes, reject it. Was the timing off? Well, maybe. If Jeremiah hadn't have been locked up, he'd have come and he could have delivered that message a lot sooner. But I think that if you read the chapter that we read, I think the timing was perfect. For here, a nation had come together. As we said, fasting. You know, I've prayed that many a time down in the barn for my lost loved ones, for the lost family members of my wife. And I said, Lord, God, I don't know what it'll take to reach them, Lord. I don't know if they'll ever be reached. But Lord, might You bring them to the place where that they might be able to say yes. Though they might turn their back on You, Lord. These are the occasions that I pray for. Because, see, these people had opened their heart up to the Lord. Though they didn't like what they heard, and though they turned it away, it's an honor, isn't it? It's a privilege to know that God loves them so much. And that each sin, what did they tell Barak? They said, "You and Jeremiah need to hide." We know that if you read the remainder of the chapter, that the prophet of the Lord, he didn't dwell in king's palaces. He didn't have a fancy house. But he dwelled in the prison. He was hiding from the king. The king was angry, and he burnt the word. And he seeked after the life of Jeremiah. But the Lord protected him. Did protect him out in the wilderness. Protected him in a city that was full of famine. But yet that goes to show you the provisions of God. When the old king was led away, and Zedekiah come, he went to seek the face of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, I pray that I might be more like him. He began to tell him what the Lord said. The king didn't want to hear it. He rejected it like all the others. And Jeremiah said, "Please, don't throw me back in the dungeon, lest I die." And the king said, "All right, you can dwell in the courtyard of the prison, and you'll be fed a portion of my bread." Listen to me now. He was still yet in prison, but God had lifted him up from that awful place, and he ate of the king's bread. Listen, the king had a heart too. We know that there was those that were even killing the children and eating them. Listen to me, there was hard times, but Jeremiah was faithful, and the Lord provided for him. Listen to me, we must be willing to be as Jeremiah. Look at the old prophet that fled to Egypt and then sort of perished. I pray, you know, I was praying that we were saying grace at the table yesterday. And I thank the Lord that I didn't live in the city. Listen, there's some places in the city where they'll just kill you. Like it speaks here in the Bible about that burial of an ass that the king was what he's going to have. Listen, there's places in the cities of this world where they'll king as soon, or as quick as killing a dog. And I gathered around the table, and I thank God He placed us right where we were. I thanked Him that we were somewhat insulated from the wickedness of this world. But I know that if I don't teach my kids the wonderful truths in God's Word, though they might be insulated now, there will come a day that they too will be faced all on their own. And they'll stand there. And if they have not God in their heart, though they would dwell on the island, they would be miserable and full of anger and wrath. I thank each and every one of you for your attention. My prayer is that you would read this week and that you would meditate on it. If it doesn't come out and say it, but if you read that 36th chapter, it was read at the temple and there was those that feared. It was read among the, some of the scribes, and it said, and they were afraid. But when they seen the response of the king and his princes, and that they were not afraid nor rent their garments, and that there was no doubt a sigh in the kingdom. But the king accounted this as nothing. This is not even the word of God. He burned it. And those, no doubt, some that were afraid, sigh relief. I'm afraid today that there's so many people in our culture today that don't fear God for the same reason. Because they don't see a church that fears the Lord. For we live in a day where very few fear the Lord. And then so many of the church world is running around telling them that they have no need to fear Him. That He's a God of love. And that if you would experience His love, that you would not need to fear the Lord. Well, listen to me. So many of them don't fear Him anyhow. But when the Lord gives us a command in His Word, and it's in there, to fear the Lord, who's going to obey that commandment? The wicked? And no, the righteous. And the righteous are to fear Him. Not to fear Him as a son fears a drunken father. Now that's in a fit of rage. But to fear Him for who He is. King of kings and Lord of lords. That He holds the universe in the palm of His hands. That He has the power to give life and to take it. I'm thankful that the Lord, even in our day, as in the day of Jeremiah, will send those messages to those that have turned open their heart only to reject it. But yet God sends a message. My prayer is that I might be faithful to throw the seed. You know the parable of the sower. He throws it on rocky ground. He throws it on the pathway. He throws it on thorny ground. And He throws it on fertile ground. One thing that can be said of that parable is He's throwing seed everywhere. I'm afraid we live today and we're so careful sometimes to be so sparingly with that seed. And we look for that fertile ground. But might we be as the sower and broadcast that seed, and that it may fall where it may. For the seed is without price, and it cost us nothing. But to sow the things of God in the hearts of men. And let the Lord do the work. Because I know that He can take it on a thorny heart, and He can weed it. You know, because I'll have to say, when the Word of the Lord fell upon my heart, that it was not fertile soil, that it was thorny. And it sprang forth, and that I And I was in a church. We had a pastor that was devoted to cutting brush and chopping thorns.